We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
This is Frank Sesich of Blue Ash, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Next time you find yourself using a rideshare, make it more interesting. Ask the driver to put on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Johann Dietrich of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences, presenting The Witching Hour, a series that pays tribute to the special hour of night that welcomes the alluring and terrifying. This month, playing Reanimator, The Faculty, Possessor, and The Invisible Man. Every Wednesday night, information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 13th. Local early morning temperatures range from 61 degrees in Steventown to 71 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 72 degrees. Air quality today will be moderate. Pollen levels will be medium. Today starts out dry but ends rainy. Most of us see the switch over around noon. We get a high temperature of 88 at 2 p.m. The rain continues overnight as we reach a low of 69. Tomorrow, more chances of rain. We get a high of 84 at 5 p.m. Rain takes a hike near dark, then we see a low of 65 degrees. Friday is looking dry and sunny with a high of 85. Saturday, probably dry, high of 87. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:38 a.m., high tide at 6:16 a.m., low tide again at 12:57 p.m., then high tide once again at 6:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 83 degrees, and the tide strength is average. Sunset today will be at 7:47 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:57 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 523 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S3 level noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 152. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Thank you. The Public News Service Doha Newscast, August the 13th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. The White House plans to conduct a wide-ranging review of the Smithsonian Institution's museum exhibitions, that ahead of America's 250th anniversary next year, to ensure the museums align with President Donald Trump's view of American history, a White House official confirmed to ABC News. ABC reports in a letter sent to Lonnie Bunch, the secretary of the Smithsonian Institution, the White House writes that it wants to ensure that the museum reflects the unity, progress, and enduring value that define the American story. And from the Weather Channel, Tropical Storm Erin is tracking quickly westward through the open Atlantic waters and should become increasingly organized in the coming days, potentially reaching major hurricane intensity this weekend, as it tracks just north of the Caribbean islands, where it could bring rain and gusty winds. They note Erin's long-term future through next week is still somewhat uncertain, so interest around the Caribbean, the U.S. East Coast, and Bermuda should continue to monitor the forecast. And a group of veterans and elected officials says the ongoing war in Ukraine highlights the need for a global clean energy transition, including in California.
Despite economic sanctions, Russia continues to earn hundreds of billions of dollars from oil and gas as it carries out military strikes on Ukrainian oil refineries. Blue Lake City Council member and Army veteran Catherine Napier says her small community north of San Francisco is taking steps to reduce oil dependence and its harmful impacts.
Our energy dependence on fossil fuels is not a problem that gets solved somewhere else by someone else. It starts in small places like Blue Lake.
She says her town is generating more solar power, building a battery energy storage system, and converting old sawmills into logistical sites for offshore wind power. President Donald Trump, who has criticized clean energy development, meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week. I'm Catherine Carley.
Next, North Carolinians are feeling the heat this summer. Some are asking what communities could do to cool down.
The North Carolina Public Health Association and Clean Air NC collaborated on the heat mitigation meetings. Tiffany Fant of Soul Nation led the focus groups, saying there are mutual concerns shared across the community, such as a lack of air conditioning at home.
Having to go out into community to air condition places when a heat wave hits. Another commonality is the acknowledgement of the lack of trees in their communities and understanding how that plays a role in being able to cool off personally, but also being able to help cool off community.
Lack of access to water was another concern. Fant says one solution brought up in meetings is a community response team that could conduct welfare checks when heat waves are in the forecast to prevent tragedies. The meetings brought together four groups: faith leaders, healthcare workers, emergency responders, and community members. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
This is Public News Service. The legal team representing a Cincinnati religious leader is asking a federal court to release him from ICE custody in Butler County, citing civil rights concerns.
The case of Ayman Suleiman, known locally as the Interfaith Imam, is drawing broader attention for what advocates say could set a dangerous legal precedent. Attorney Franchelle Daniel at the Muslim Legal Fund of America says Suleiman's detention came after the government's disputed termination of his asylum status and raises larger concerns for immigrants' rights.
What the government is doing is just wrong. And while this is just one case, the implications are far-reaching. It sets precedent, and we don't want that precedent out there.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security hasn't publicly responded to the habeas petition. Farah Siddiqui reporting. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
And the number of folks in Colorado age 65 and older is projected to grow by 30% over the next decade. A new report shows the state is not prepared for rising costs associated with an aging population.
Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, a constitutional amendment that requires voter approval to increase state revenues, is seen as a major barrier to current and future budget shortfalls. AARP Colorado State Director Sarah Schuneman says $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid under President Donald Trump's signature tax and spending bill could impact people living in long-term care facilities.
Primarily, our nursing homes are funded through Medicaid, and with cuts at the national level, what's going to happen to all of the older adults who are in nursing homes? Where are they going to go? Who is going to help support them, and what does that look like?
Even before Medicaid cuts kick in, the Colorado Fiscal Institute projects the state would have to find an additional $420 million by 2035 and more than $688 million by 2050 to meet its share of long-term care costs. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, a 40,000-acre bottomland hardwood forest south of Tallahassee is being preserved through carbon credits to buffer hurricanes, absorb floodwaters, and protect endangered species like the Gulf sturgeon.
Aurora Sustainable Lands, the nation's seventh-largest private forest owner, manages the project on one of the largest intact tracts of land in the eastern U.S. Keke Worthington is the company's vice president of carbon operations and explains the urgency amid rising threats of hurricanes and other storms.
The forests that surround the river are the unique bottomland forests. They're full of cypress and tupelo trees that are used to seasonal flooding and are really great at helping slow down water as it floods.
A 2025 ecosystem marketplace report shows demand for high-integrity carbon offsets has surged 62% since 2023. I'm Tramell Gomes.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New Hampshire Governor Kelly Ayotte signed three election bills August 1st, one a positive reform requiring handicapped accessible voting machines in all towns. The others, however, add barriers to disabled, elderly, and other mail-in absentee voters. House Bill 67 requires voting machines for the visually impaired be made available by the state to all voting precincts. The legislation is a response to 2024 challenges under the Americans with Disabilities Act and is effective beginning in 2026. But Ayotte also signed two bills adding barriers for vulnerable voters. She signed SB 218, requiring copies of proof of domicile and age and a birth certificate, passport, or naturalization papers when registering by mail. Such requirements disproportionately impact the elderly and disabled who may not have ready access to the documents or a means of copying them. Even though all those documents would then be on file, another bill, SB 287, requires a copy of ID or notarized affidavit each time an absentee voter applies for an absentee ballot. In a statement, the New Hampshire Campaign for Voting Rights wrote, "Governor Ayotte just chose to make it harder for thousands of Granite Staters, especially our most vulnerable, to vote, all without solving a single real problem." We have the text of the bills and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
shame when I let open the blinds of this house where I reside. Don't forget, I'm a prison bitch, but not yet crystallized. Just waiting for my chrysalis, which will take me to the other side. The way you did. The way you did.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Being the chief of police, I'm certainly the one who champions to ensure that we reduce violent crime across our city. That is why the mayor appointed me to do that job, which is why you've seen the reduction in crime across our city. This effort will only help us enhance and build upon that.
Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Chief Pamela Smith plans to work with federal officials to keep crime rates low. This comes after President Donald Trump federalized the department, claiming crime is rampant in the city. D.C.'s Attorney General Brian Schwab says Trump's move is out of touch with what's going on in the district. 850 law enforcement agents and officers were deployed across the district in a surge. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says given how many arrests were made on Monday, Trump's plan is working.
They made a total of 23 arrests, including multiple other contacts. These arrests consisted of homicide, firearms offenses, possession with intent to distribute narcotics, fare evasion, lewd acts.
But that's less than half of the arrests made on the same day in 2024 by the city's police department alone. Crime in the district rose in 2023, mirroring a national trend, but is at a 30-year low. Trump claims crime is also rampant in other major cities, but Jeff Asher, co-founder of crime data analytics firm AH Datalytics, says based on available FBI data, these problems are improving.
Los Angeles had the fewest murders since 1966 through June. New York had the fewest shootings, I think, that they've ever recorded. I was just reading an article talking about the Baltimore miracle in terms of gun violence and murder falling in Baltimore.
Meanwhile, the Texas State Senate passed a redistricting map, which could add 5 Republican seats to Congress. But the map can't take effect until the House votes on it, which Democrats in the chamber are fighting to block by not having a quorum. Texas Speaker of the House, Republican Dustin Burrow, says his Democratic colleagues are only making things worse for themselves.
If the devastation in our Hill Country communities, the Texas Constitution, and their mounting debt aren't enough to bring them back today, they should yet again be reminded this is not going away. The work is not going away, and the pressure on them will only grow.
Former Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown, who lost his long-held Ohio seat in 2024, plans to run for the Senate next year. The race would likely take a national profile as Democrats try to take control of the closely divided chamber. As the Trump administration expands its crackdown on immigration, more states are stepping up to create detention facilities. Along with Florida's alligator Alcatraz, Indiana's similarly named Speedway Slammer is slated to add 1,000 beds. Border czar Tom Homan says it's a state issue as much as a national issue.
The Biden administration did the last 4 years was terrible. Millions of people in this country not properly vetted, so the states are taking interest. They care about public safety too. And I'm not saying every illegal alien is a public safety threat, but many are, and the states are taking it seriously, so I'm glad they're stepping in.
This comes as a senior district court judge issued a temporary restraining order on the 10th floor detention center at 26 Federal Plaza in New York City. It requires ICE to meet baseline human rights conditions for holding people, which reports show are lacking in many other ICE detention centers. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
There's no time left.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Bowhead whales, which are found amid the sea ice of the Arctic, can live for about 200 years. But bowhead whales born today may grow up in a very different ocean than their parents.
Because the Arctic is warming so fast, all of this sea ice is melting, and the potential future may be very uncertain for them.
Nick Freimuller is a PhD candidate at the Universities of Adelaide in Copenhagen. He and his colleagues use fossils and historic whaling ship records to map where bowhead whales have lived over the past 12,000 years. They found that whales have consistently been found in parts of the ocean with about 15 to 30% sea ice cover in the summer.
This pattern has been pretty remarkable. If you go back to bowhead whale fossils 10,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, historical occurrences from whaling logbooks, they're all in the same sort of 15 to 30% sea ice on average over the summer.
But the study also found that with climate change, suitable habitat for the whales could become rarer. Freimuller says it's still unclear exactly why the whales are drawn to this particular amount of sea ice. So he says further research is needed to better understand what threats may await bowhead whales as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belongs to the every people. Everybody.